Thank you, Abe. It's good to be with you this morning. I would like to add my welcome to that of Elise's. My name's Luke, if I haven't met you. Yes, you have joined us on a slightly different day, but I hope it's not too different because I hope that we are a church that is always giving thanks to God for his blessings to us. Before we get underway, just to let you know what we're doing next week, we're doing a service called Next Step Sunday, which we'll be doing in our regular congregations. Last year we combined what we're doing next year and what we're looking back on this year in one service, and it felt like quite a long service and we had a lot to cover, so we thought we'd just separate them today. We're thinking about Thanksgiving. But if you are a member of our church and you see us, St. Mark's as your home church, I do commend to you this little letter that is written by myself and the wardens about financial partnership. You might have received that in your email in the last week or so. This is a printed version of the same thing, so you don't need to pick one up if you've already read it and had a look at it. But please pick one up in the foyer. We'd love you to consider particularly financial partnership over the next week as we think about what next year is going to look like with our budget and things like that. Financial partnership is something that we think is good for everybody who sees St. Mark's as their home church. We think it's a biblical thing to be doing, that we share in the responsibility of what God is doing here at St. Mark's. But have a read of that if you'd like some more detail about what that is all about. I do commend that to you. Let me pray again as we get underway. Father, we pray now as we come to this part of your word that you will be stilling our hearts and minds and giving us a spirit of thankfulness. Amen. Well, there is really so much to be thankful for this year. The psalm that we just had read out to us is and has been for centuries a precious psalm of God's people, helping God's people to be thankful. But this is the thing about thankfulness. We can only really be thankful, I think, when we have our perspective shifted or recalibrated a little bit, or recalibrated a lot, away from ourselves. If your childhood was anything like me, your parents might have tried to motivate you to eat a meal from time to time with some variation of the line. If you didn't want to eat the meal that's put in front of you, there'll be, think of all the starving people in dot, dot, dot. You've heard that line? And if you're anything like me, you would have replied with something like that, I'm fine if you want to package up the meal and send it to them, but I don't want to eat it, right? You know that kind of, I think it's been something that's gone for generations, that motivation for you got this, just, you know, it's quite hard to be simply told to be grateful and just feel grateful. It's hard to be guilted into being grateful. Proper gratitude comes when we have our perspective recalibrated, and not with a quick one-liner from our parents, but recalibrated in our hearts. And this psalm, I think, is wonderful for us in recalibrating our hearts. And it has really, if you look at it, it's those five verses, but there are two threads that are interwoven through the psalm that helps us to have perspective. The first thread is kind of an exhortation, the action and the heart response to the Lord. It begins in verse 1, shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. One of the things that I love about a day like today, or when we went away as a church to one away earlier in this year, is that we do come together as a church family and we do make some kind of joyful noise together, really, don't we? The noise we make is not just any noise. It's the noise of God's people who are triumphant. Triumphant. Jesus has won the victory. We know we're loved. We rejoice that we have hope. And we are exhorted to do this, to shout joyfully, but also exhorted to serve the Lord with gladness. It doesn't say serve the Lord on a roster. It says serve the Lord with gladness. Now, there's a whole bunch of things that can go on in our hearts when we're thinking about serving. With pride, aren't I great that I serve here? Or guilt, or duty, or envy perhaps. I wish I was serving this way. Serving the Lord with gladness, that's what it's about. One of the things I love seeing this year was at the kids' games holiday program that was here. We saw some footage of that. seeing the joyful serving that was happening in the kitchen, the smiles on the faces of a number of our more senior, let's say less mobile members who can't crouch down and run around the oval, but they have such a joy in serving and seeing those children grow and love Jesus, not begrudgingly, but with gladness. Those smiles are precious. And in verse 4, we see this other exhortation. So this is the next part of the thread. There's this, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Now, the gates in the original context would no doubt have been referring to the temple area, the temple gates, the temple courts where God's people would come to worship God. But if we're reading this today, I wonder where you think the gates are that we are called to enter with thanksgiving. Are we talking about the lower car park entrance? Or are we talking about the upper one or the old church entrance? Maybe they're the gates, right? With a code that too many people already know what the code is to get in. Yeah, we've got to change that. This is being live streamed, right? Okay, no. The front glass doors, are they the gates? We're going to come back to that question in a moment. But the first thread that we see in this psalm helping us to recalibrate our lives is this disposition, this heart behaviour towards the Lord. We're exhorted to have a heart response, an action towards God, shouting triumphantly, serving with gladness, entering his gates with praise and thanksgiving. But this is the thing, we've just already alluded to it. The exhortation to be thankful can sometimes feel like the Christian equivalent to be thankful for the food that you have in front of you because of the people around the world who don't have it. It's not the most effective strategy to help us to be thankful. Simply exhorting God's people just to shout triumphantly, just do it, just serve happily, come in with thankfulness and praise. It can maybe work in the short term if you're the kind of person who gets motivated by, you know, a bit of a wake-up call. Yeah, it's actually, that's a good, and it can work in the short term, but it will only motivate us to be thankful because, well, we're being told to be thankful, because we should be thankful. Which brings me to the second thread that's interwoven in this precious psalm, and it's a thread about identity. Notice there in verse 3, after the psalmist exhorts God's people to serve the Lord with gladness, there's this pivot. The psalmist moves from exhorting us to a particular action or heart disposition and towards God and who he is and what he has done and who we are in relationship to him. Verse 3, acknowledge that Yahweh is God. He made us. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. This year, you might be aware, I've spent a little bit of time thinking about the future of St. Mark's and things like our strategic plans, our mission and all those kind of things. We're going to hear a little bit about that next week. But to be honest, one of the things I find difficult personally about these areas and these kind of exercises is when I find myself, I guess, detaching what we are going to do as a church from who we are, if that makes sense. Especially when it comes to who we are in relationship to God. He is committed to us. We are his people. We belong to him. We are precious to him. This perspective is so important. We're never actually going to be truly thankful, I don't think, until we believe that God has got this. On my iPhone lock screen this year, I don't know if I've still got it, maybe I've turned off. Yeah, there you go. Oh, it doesn't work. Anyway, technology for you. On my lock screen this year, I put the words, he's got this, right, in big, bold writing to encourage me every day that God has got this. But sadly, my kids thought it was me talking about myself in the third person, right? Luke's got this, yeah. And so they said, what are you doing when you're paying for your Macca's meal with this on your phone? They're going to think you're a big egomaniac. So I can pay for this bill. No, it was meant, yeah, anyway. So if you ever see it, it's about God, not me, right? But that's a really important perspective, right? If we're to cultivate this culture of thankfulness that revitalizes a church community, that refreshes any people and not debilitates it, the psalmist needs to remind, we need to be reminded that God has got this. We are His. God is in control. We are His. And then the psalmist reminds us more of God's character. For Yahweh is good. His love is eternal. His faithfulness endures through all generations. Now, if you're a Bible-believing, Bible-loving Christian who's grown up in a church like this or been part of a church like this for many years, I think, again, if you're anything like me, the goodness of God is perhaps one of the first qualities of God that we can abandon when we drift from reading His word and meeting with His people. We can relate to God perhaps in trusting in His plans, His power, His promises. But that first thing to go, I think, from a living, healthy relationship with God is find ourselves living like we're not actually sure if God is good. We need to be reminded every day of the goodness of God. It's like the famous quote from Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe about Aslan the lion. When Lucy asked Mr. and Mrs. Beaver if Aslan is a tame lion, to which the reply is, no, of course, Aslan is not a tame lion. But he is good. He's good. Do you see that God is good in the hardships, in the difficulties? Well, let's finish by returning to the question that I left hanging a little bit. Where are those gates that we enter with thanksgiving? The lower car park entrance, where are those gates? Now, it's not a bad habit to arrive at church every Sunday with a heart of thankfulness, but that's not the gate that we are called to enter with thanksgiving. The gate we're called to enter for us as Christians is not a literal gate. In John chapter 10, Jesus famously said to His disciples, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They'll come in and out and find pasture." The gate, friends, is Jesus. And entering the gate is about how we approach the salvation that Jesus offers. Not with a resolve to do better, not with a guilt, not with a pride, not with an arrogance, not with an apathy, not with a cynicism, but with thankfulness, with gratitude. Yes, there are so many things that we can and should be grateful for every day. Things like food, safety, life, peace, family, health. But this is actually not what we are called to as our primary reason for thankfulness, because all these things are short-lived and can be taken away in a moment. The thankfulness that we are called to demonstrate over and over again is the gift of life and salvation in Jesus. We belong to God. He is good. His love endures forever, from generation to generation. This is what it means to be thankful. It's that gratitude. There's a famous Dixieland tune. When the saints go marching in, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. It kind of sometimes gets trivialized because of our familiarity with the tune. And I guess you could sum up what makes us most thankful at St. Mark's in our church family is when we see and hear about another one being added to the number, that number of God's people. I wanted to finish this little time before we sing and with a little snapshot of an interview I did yesterday with Brian Scarsbrick, who is a new member of our church community. He's not here this morning. He sent his apologies. He's been coming along to the 8 and 10 a.m. Congregations since about March this year. And this is someone in our church community who has recently lived and walked the experience of entering the gates with thanksgiving. I'm going to hear from him now.